Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
This is the Word of God. Because I honor His Word, His blessings will chase me down and overtake me. I will be in the right place at the right time. I am surrounded by God's favor. I declare that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, in Jesus' name. How many loves the Word of God? I received the Bible from the Wallens, from Christian World Bookstore, Bible Bookstore here in town. And they wrote the greatest thing inside of my Bible. And I do. And it was just amazing. I love it. I love the smell of a new Bible. I love the Word of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, when you find it, shout hallelujah. It will be on your screen for your convenience. The Word of God says, "And when they," talking about the disciples, "were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.'" Verse 17 says, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" Verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil." Somebody needs to underline that in your Bible. "Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?'" And verse 20 says, "And Jesus said it at him, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing," someone say nothing, "shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting." Today, we're going to talk to you about fresh oil. How many like fresh things? I like a fresh salad. I like fresh tomatoes in my salad. I like the vegetables to be fresh. We're going to talk about fresh oil. I believe that God wants to bring us some fresh oil, don't you? In my prayer time this week, I had another message in place that I was going to preach, but the Lord began to deal with me about filling our horn of oil, getting it filled up, because God is about to anoint us and take us into a new place and do great things. So let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for the reading of your word. Father, where your word is where I want to be. I pray that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I hope this morning that you have with you, and I'm going to take mine off right now, a rubber band, because I want to just illustrate something to you today that I think is going to help us with where we're at and where we're headed. There's a real struggle, and it's going on, and it's been going on for some time. There's a real struggle between the church, which we would call the body of Christ, not just Gospel Lighthouse Church, but I'm also including the church down the road. The body of Christ, there's a struggle between us right now and our present culture. And so if you have a rubber band, I'm going to show you something I think that's important today. There's a term, culture, and you're hearing it quite often. You're hearing it on the news, you're seeing on social media, people are talking about it in the schools, and you have people trying to, you know, help us understand a little more about where we are at as a society. But this term, culture, is simply defined as the stage of civilization. We have went through so many stages. I mean, you can go all the way back to the time of Mesopotamia, between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, and you could talk about culture, talk about civilization. But this also, this word, this term culture, is also defined as the behaviors and the beliefs characteristic to or of a particular social or ethnic or age group. And so there's a bleeding going on with culture, with whether it's a particular, you know, ethnic group or social group of people. For instance, the greatest thing what we're seeing right now on the news is how you have liberal people who push the green ideology. And when I mean green ideology, I mean let's take care of the environment, let's take care of everything, let's get rid of the jets, let's make everything go electric. And then now those same people that are pushing that green fundamental are beginning to set fire to those electric cars, okay? And so that is a little strange, but that is happening. That is the behavior of a social group, an ethnic group, or even an age group. And so what we find is the church should, we are even asked by God, but we should always become the reflection of the bride of Christ. And when I thought about that statement yesterday, I was thinking to myself, are we, Gospel Lighthouse Church, are we being the reflection of a bride, not just a reflection of the of somebody else's thought, what the church should be, other people's opinion, what it was 20, 30 years ago, but are we truly right now, this moment, being the reflection of the bride of Christ? When I was married, my wife spent some time getting ready as my bride. She was adorning herself. She was preparing herself. She was getting everything ready. And I believe that's what God is trying to tell us. We need to make ourselves ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? If you look in the book of Revelation, it coruscates my thought. Revelation 21 and verse 2 says, and it'll be on your screen, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And look what it says next. It says, prepared, everybody say prepared, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Is this what God is telling us at this moment right now? We have earthquakes that are happening in diverse places. You saw the footage that took place in Burma or Myanmar. You see what's happening in these last days. And God is trying to tell us to prepare as a bride adorned for a husband. And you skip down to verse 9, and it says, and there came to me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. And look what he says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinth, to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. He says, for I am a jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so we can all agree this morning, right, that the church is the bride of Christ. Amen? Now, since we've settled that, in terms of our present culture, which again is defined as the behaviors and beliefs which are characteristic to a particular social, ethnic, or age group, we know the church is faced with a struggle on how to deal with the social issues of today. So, what are some of the struggles? What are some of the social issues today? Recently, for Gospel Lighthouse Church, one of the struggles that we had as a church was to deal with immigration because of what was happening with our friends, with immigration and the new laws that were being passed and the new things that were taking place, how ICE was coming into the cities. ICE was in Jonesboro. ICE was in Monette. ICE was in Blytheville. And we were struggling to say, well, what do we do as the body of Christ? What do we do as a local church? And so that is another, that's a social issue. You have abortion, a social issue. And you could even take it down to drugs, whether they're illegal or whether they're legal, whatever it may be, but those are social issues. You can talk about the homosexuality that's going on in our nation. And now you're seeing where pride events are now being canceled because of the new administration. And these are all social issues that are taking place. And so we, the body of Christ, we need to learn how to deal with this tension. So I want you to do this. I want you to take your rubber band out and hold it up high. Take your rubber band out. Okay, now please don't pop anybody with a rubber band, all right, please. But I trust you that you won't do that. I'm going to take this rubber band out, and without breaking them right now, without breaking, it's going to take both hands. I want you to begin to just stretch it a little bit. Without breaking them, just kind of stretch it. This is what I want you to see. You feel the tension? How many can say, I feel the tension? You feel the tension? This tension, this is nothing but a hands-on analogy or a representation of the tension between the church and today's culture. That's what's going on. There's tension. Have you ever been in a room where the husband and a wife created tension? I know that's never happened in Gospel Lighthouse Church, but Pastor Carl, they say there's a lot of tension in the church down the road. Can I have an amen? Well, the church is the body of Christ, which embodies all that which is holy. It embodies all that is righteous. And today's culture embodies all the social issues that flow against the truth of God and the truth of His Word. So that's what we're in. We're in this struggle, if you will. Now, the most effective way to deal with the issues that are represented in today's culture is to identify, number one, the social, logical, and number two, the theological panels that exist. We've got to, our objective is to be effective, am I right? And so we've got to be able to pull back and say, well, how do I then, as a believer, as a Christian, how do I face this tension? What do I say? What do I do? Well, we've got to understand. First of all, ask our question. What type of culture are we in? Where are we at? What type of culture are we in right now? Now, so let's break it down. Let's quantize it for a little bit. Let's break it down and make it simple. Basically, and it's going to be on your screen, three cultures in relation to absolute. These are always going to be around. When I say absolute, these have been around for ages. It's on your screen. We have first the theononymous culture. You have theos, which means God, and of course, anonymous means law. And so you have, number one, the theonomous culture. It is the law of God embedded in the heart of man that most think in the same categories. And so that's the God, the law of God in our hearts, just like the scripture tells us. Number two, you have the heteronomous culture. Hetero means other, and nomos means law again. And so this is where a handful at the top dictate everything to the masses below. We're seeing this in certain religions. Islam is one of the best religions you can see that actually use this culture, this heteronomous culture. And then you have number three, and now this is where I think number three, we're seeing it more and more than we've ever seen it, even more than 2019, Pastor Carl. We see the autonomous culture, which is, of course, autos is self and the anonymous is law, and that means a person dictates their own moral prerogative. And we talked about autonomy, how that can become dangerous. Well, this is the struggle, and you can come back to me, Caleb. The struggle the church has with an autonomous culture is the body of Christ loses the privilege of autonomy when it comes to the social issues of today. And so they lose that. They lose that making your mind up, making you make your own decision. The body of Christ actually has to lose that because we are following the word of God. Thy word I've hid in my heart, so I won't sin against God, right? This book of the law shall not depart of my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written therein, that I may, then my ways may make me prosperous, and I shall have good success. And so this is why I always stick with the word of God. Can I have amen? And so there's that struggle then as the body of Christ. But there's this example that I have called, and I've said this years ago, I'm calling it socialized media. Not social media, but socialized media. Socialized media has been going on before Facebook ever existed. It has been going on as soon as there was the capability of a man by the name of Adolf Hitler was able to, during the Olympics, give a speech in, I don't even remember what year it was, to all of Europe, pretty much all of Europe, of the opening ceremony of the Olympics that took place in Germany. Ever since that began to be broadcast, you began to see what is called socialized media. And as an autonomous culture, we must realize that God has created us all with the power to choose. We have free will. I understand people say, well, I can, it's my body, I can do what I want. You have free will. I cannot argue and debate that point, because God has given us free choice. You can choose what you want to choose. You can do what you want to do. You have the freedom as a human being to make those choices. But this is something you need to understand if you're going to make those choices. Although God created us with the power to choose, God did not give us the power of the consequences of our choices. You can choose to tattoo yourself from head to toe. You can choose to drink and snort and smoke that stuff. You can choose to go gamble. You can choose to watch porn. You can choose to commit affairs and adultery. You can choose all those things. But my friend, you will never have the power over the consequences of the choices you make. That needs to be preached. Because young people today don't realize that every decision they make is going to impact, have an impact, whether negative or positive, upon their life. And we as parents need to guide and guard them and say, listen, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be careful when you're going to date that person, or you're going in that relationship, or you're coming in agreement with that, whatever it may be, because it may not be of God. To try to save you from some heartache. Can somebody say amen? Listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Wow. So our tension, got my rubber band together. Our tension comes when the church stands up for godly values. The opposing forces switch to a heteronomous mode to dictate what we must believe. So this is what's happened. This is what's happened in the last decade. Oh, you can't say that. You've got to be politically correct. Oh, you can't get behind a pulpit and talk about gays being an abomination to God because that's politically incorrect. You have to be politically correct. So that's what happens. Then you have people who are in the hierarchy of whatever system we're in begin to dictate what you can say and what you cannot say, what you can post on Facebook and what you cannot post, what you can say on YouTube and what you cannot say on YouTube. You've got people who are trying to stir up all this mess, but we need a John the Baptist generation, a voice crying in the wilderness and saying, repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's prepare ourselves as a church is getting ready to meet her groom and forever be with the Lord. Can somebody shout hallelujah? The death of this great nation is not political correctness. The death of this great nation is politics. It will always be. It's a shame. Why are we allowing one, and I don't care if he's Republican or she's Republican or Democrat, liberal, whatever it may be, libertarian, whatever it may be, okay? Jesus is king. There's nothing else. Jesus is king. And so it's time that we, the church, stand up for what is right. The death in this nation is politics, and it will be if the church continues to try to run under and try to move under a political agenda. We need to move under a biblical agenda. I love what Pastor Crystal said, and she had no idea, but Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And it doesn't matter if there's an elephant on her or a donkey stamped to that church. What must be stamped to the church is the approval of Jehovah, our God, says, looks down at the people of God and says, yes, I am pleased with that group of people at Gospel Lighthouse Church. Boy, this is good preaching. Amen. There's no winner in an autonomous society only. There's no winner. If every individual thinks he or she is right, who can be right? Hello. That's why we have, Brother Vernon, that's why we have so many church splits. Because we have someone, well, I believe it's okay to drink a little alcohol for your stomach's sake. Before you know it, their children are alcoholics. I think it's okay to smoke a little weed because it's legal now. You can, you know, I need it for pain management. I think it's okay. And so you have people saying, well, it's my beliefs. I don't believe that way. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I don't believe. I think that was. And you get all of this messed up. And God is trying to tell us, church, make yourself ready. Without spot, without blemish. Social, logically, the body of Christ has been put in a conundrum because of a theological stand. I was pastoring our first church. I'll never forget this. It didn't go over real well with me, but I'll never forget this. I was talking about certain things and in the pulpit and doing things and trying to, you know, govern and administrate. I had a gentleman come to me that was a member. He was actually a men's leader. And he said, well, if you do so-and-so, I'm pulling my tithes. I thought, what kind of mess is that? You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. You're becoming a thief. You're robbing God. And so I thought, why are we having this go on in the body of Christ? It's a shame. It's because we make a stand, and people don't like the stand that we make. And so they find that they can't live under that type of, and they say, well, he's, and listen, what we have to do is, how do we've got to answer this question, and how do I, as a pastor, how do you as leaders, how do we, the church, the body of Christ, how do we deal with this present culture? Do I tiptoe around all the tithe players? Do I walk around like I'm on eggshells and afraid that if I say something, I'm going to offend somebody? Do I hold back the truth of the Word of God? Listen, you know, there's a lot of these questions that we got to ask ourselves. Do I do this? Do I do that? What do I do if somebody comes to me and says, hey, pastor, is it okay we're in a same-sex relationship? Is it okay we come to church? What do I say to someone like that? What do I say if someone says, hey, man, I've been smoking this weed all day long. Is it okay if I come in high? And what do I say to people that says, hey, I just got a divorce and I'm hurting, but I need a place to come and worship? So we got to figure out, how do we, the body of Christ, to deal? How do we deal with the social issues of today? And I have an answer for you. How many is ready for the answer? I believe the answer is God, fresh oil. Fresh oil. The only way we're going to be able to fight the fight that we're in, to face the adversity, is say, God, send forth the fresh oil. Just as the prophet saw the oil that came through 49 of those tubes that landed in from the menorah into the bowl, God, send the anointing of fresh oil in the church again. We need oil from God. We need oil, fresh oil. It's just like changing your car oil. You can't just expect it to move the way it needs to move if it's old and messed up and completely black and all gooey. We need God to change our oil. How many can say today, God, I need an oil change in my life from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Fresh oil in the house of God. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I want fresh oil. How about you? Fresh oil. Matthew 17 and verse 14 says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to Jesus a certain man. Notice this man wasn't identified according to Matthew. He's kneeling down to Jesus and he says, what does he say? Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For often he falls into fire, and often he falls into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. You know,
This text is so amazing to me because we look at this scripture and we realize there's something happening going on right here. Perhaps we're missing. We read lunatic and we think to ourselves, this boy is crazy. How many know some lunatics? Don't point if you know. But you realize that this Greek word lunatic is not what it actually means, as we would think. This Greek word lunatic is actually, and it's a very difficult word to pronounce, but it is selenira zomehi, and it means an epileptic. An epileptic. He wasn't like cuckoo bird. He was epileptic. He had a problem where he could not control his limbs, his body. He could not physically control himself. This epileptic child, if you'll look at it, take a rubber band out. This epileptic child is the symbol of an autonomous culture that has no control. We're seeing this today in every aspect of society. An autonomous culture that has no control. How is it that people fly off the handle? You know, I scroll up down sometimes on what they call X. It used to be Twitter. And almost everything I see is always somebody fighting. There's always somebody fighting. There's always some kind of punching or somebody's mad. It's always road rage. It's an autonomous culture. It's people who are lost control. They think they're in control, but when they're really out of control. And this is what this young boy, this what they said a lunatic or an epileptic, he is a symbol of. Notice the father. The father describes this son's condition. And notice what happens. He says, one thing that's very key, he says, my son, this condition that he has, this epilepsy that he has, it's causing him to fall into the fire and into the water. Falling in two extremes of nature. That's important for us to understand. Take your rubber band out right now. Hold it out. I want you to begin to stretch it, but don't break it. Don't break it. You have in your hand right now, I want you to think about this. Go back and forth like this. You have in your hand, literally, you have a hands-on analogy or representation of the tension the father dealt with by caring for the son who was battling epilepsy. How many of you have ever taken care of a sick child, of a sick person, someone with a chronic illness? It's tension constantly. Constantly back and forth. And listen, I know Sister Janie, I salute you. You are a remarkable woman. You are a champion in Christ. For you to attend faithfully like you had, my wife told me and reminded me that your prayer, you'd come up and you would pray and you would ask God to send her husband, that Roy would get saved. And it wasn't just a few months later, Roy started attending church. Roy started coming in prayer. Roy started being blessed and ministered by God's power in his presence. And that is a remarkable woman. That is somebody saying, you know what? I'm going to face the tension head on, and every time I come, I'm going to expect God to bring me some fresh oil. Same with you, Antonio. You prayed for your mother, and maybe the relationship was not where you want, but you told me on Sunday, on the other day, you told me Friday, you said that your mother said you would call you back, and that tells me that your mama was thinking about you, and even in the last few moments of her life, you were on her mind. And think about the prayer you prayed and the strength that you brought, and that same God that is with your mama and the same God that is with Roy is the same God that is with those that went on before us, and they are in that place that is great, that place of heaven where there's no more more weeping, no more pain, no more sorrow. And they're running and they're rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And it's because they faced tension head on. And they said, Jesus, who faced the greatest tension of all mankind, went to the cross, died for us, but rose the third day, overcame death, hell, and a grave. And now because He lives, we too can live as well. Can somebody shout hallelujah? My, oh my. How are you handling tension? Take that rubber band. Let me say, how you handle it, how do you handle tension, will ultimately break you or restore you. Listen to Psalms. Psalms 138. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Look what it says. Thou will revive me. How many want to be revived? I do. In the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Everyone say, revive me. The Father has brought His Son to His disciples. Jesus' disciples are not able to cure this boy who is out of control physically. They couldn't cure him. Look what happens. Matthew 17 and verse 70, it'll be on your screen. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. What was the difference? What was the difference? Why couldn't Jesus' disciples, why couldn't they cure this child? What was missing? I know people say, well, Jesus. Yeah, but did not Jesus say, greater works you shall do? Well, what's the deal here? What's going on? Let's read on. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus said it, and because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Even now look at verse 21. He says, howbeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. So what is the deal here? What's the difference? Let me say this morning, it wasn't the lack of prayer that prevented these disciples to cure the child. In fact, it wasn't even the lack of fasting that prevented the disciples to cure the child. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 17. Jesus and His core disciples are out the Mount of Transfiguration. And the reason it happened, the reason these disciples were not able to cure this child, was unbelief. That was the reason. He said, because of your unbelief. Some of you right now, you have been in a battle for belief. Your faith in God has been under attack. Your faith in your purpose and whatever God you felt God has called you to do and to become have been under scrutiny. Under battle, you've been battling, and you've been battling for belief. You've been battling to believe even what God's word says. You've been fighting this fight. And the reason is because of belief. Now listen, unbelief, but listen, don't misconstrue what I'm saying here, because fasting and prayer are essential components to advancing the kingdom of God. There's no doubt about that. We must fast. We must pray. We got to continue to do that. But people may have faith, but they lack the works that accompany their faith. There are people that may have the faith, but they're missing the works. And if you look at James 2 and verse 17, it says, even so, faith, it has no works, is dead being alone. In verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, dost do well. But look what he says, the devils also believe and tremble. And then in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Down in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So how does the church then, how do we, the body of Christ, how do we deal with today's present culture? It's by believing. By believing. Somebody shout, I believe. You have to believe. You've got to believe in His Word. You cannot have doubt. You cannot have that in your heart, in your life. You have to believe, but you believe with prayer. You believe with fasting. You believe with faith. You believe with works. And once the collective body of Christ moves from the ordinary back into the extraordinary way of serving God, I believe God will send fresh oil your way. Oil has been and will always be the symbol of the fuel that keeps the menorah burning in the temple. And God, you called this church decades ago, Gospel Lighthouse Church. Let the light of the menorah of your candlesticks, God, burn again at Gospel Lighthouse. And let the flame not only just kindle, but let us spread in this community, in Blytheville and in the Boot Hill. And let there be a fire of the Holy Ghost that is called by the anointing and the fresh oil of God. Can somebody say, God, send the fresh oil my way. My, oh my. So how do I apply this to my life? Ooh-wee. How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I go from description to prescription? How can I make this message fresh oil count for life? Let me say this. Men or any anthropocentric system will not bring revival. Only God will bring revival. I got my hair cut yesterday. I was sitting in the little booth, and a gentleman was sitting next to me. Never got his name. He was only there for about 2 minutes, but I heard him talk. And he began to say, yeah, I was asked to preach at this place in Paragold. And I never met the guy, didn't know who he was. I would have never guessed him be a preacher by the way he looked. And he said, yeah, they asked me to come, and I was praying, and I don't know if this was from the Lord or not, but I felt something tell me. And he was a young man, and he said, I just felt like something told me that there was going to be a lady in a walker was going to come in service, and God's going to heal her. And he said, God, I hope that's you, because I don't know about this. He said he got to service that night. Sure enough, a lady came in with a walker. And he said, God, I hope this is you. I really hope this is you. He couldn't hardly believe it, but he's like, I hope this is you. He prayed for this lady, and God miraculously healed this lady. And she walked out of service without the use of the walker. And this guy was like, boy, my ears went whoop. My antennas went, whoop, and my radar's like, yeah, I like this. That's great faith. So it's not anything that guy did. It's what God does. When you walk in this sanctuary, Sister Charlotte, when you walk in this sanctuary, Michelle, when we walk in this sanctuary, and the reason I say Sister Charlotte, because she comes here an hour earlier than we make it. When you walk in here, do you believe that God is here? Or do you just thinking you're going to go back through this, back through the routine? Or do you truly believe the same Spirit that raised Jesus up is in this place to heal, to strengthen, to save, to deliver? Do you want to continue to become cultured in today's social climate? Or do you want fresh oil? I don't know about you guys. I want fresh oil. I want fresh oil. Do you want to be cultured, or do you want to be anointed? How many can say, Pastor JC, I want to be anointed? I'm tired of trying to fit in with everybody else. I'm tired of trying to look like and talk like and do like everybody else. I want to be anointed. I want to be anointed. Listen, and it's going to be on your screen, and I want you to see this. The work of the Holy Spirit is not supplemental. It's primary.
Yes.
Demonstrations of His supernatural power is not to be occasional. but prolific. I'm saddened today to see the loose language of the Holy Spirit. People are degrading the Holy Spirit. They say things like, well, I eat this barbecue ribs and I got the Holy Ghost after eating the barbecue. That is blasphemy. Why do we treat the Holy Spirit? Oh, I was at the ball game and I've just felt the Holy Spirit when he made that basket. When Texas Tech made that basket, beat the Arkansas Razorbacks. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost. People are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. He is in this place. And see, that's the culture that we're in. God wants us to return to him. Does he not? Listen to this. Hang on for a minute, Pastor Crystal. Listen to this. Man cannot duplicate God's craftsmanship. I had a church contact me the other day, and they said, hey, are you interested in these fog machines? Because you can put these fog machines in your church, and you blow that fog, and if your light is on there, it looks like the glory of God. I'll tell you right now, I ain't paying no money for no fog machine to try to make it look like the glory of God. I'm asking God to send his glory without the use of a fog machine, without the use of a light, and him just send his own glory to God. Send his glory in this room like man can never, ever make or create. That's what I want. Listen, methods cannot replace miracles. Programs cannot replace power. Structure cannot replace the Spirit of God. Our pursuit of attendance should never become more important than our pursuit of the anointing of God. Yeah, we may be low in number today, but I'll tell you this, we're not low in God today. We're not low in anointing today. We're not low in the Spirit of God today. We're not low in the Word of God today. We're not low in the angelic presence of the Holy Ones today. We're not low in miracles today. We're not low in a gift of tongues today. We're not low in a gift of prophecy today. We're not low in a gift of faith today. We're not low in the gifts of the Spirit today, in discernment, in teaching. We're not low in the power of God. We are only limiting ourselves when we don't believe. But I'm telling you, God is in this place and he's looking for somebody that says, fill me, God, with fresh oil in the sanctuary. The Holy Spirit is not a liability. He is our only hope at drawing men to salvation. He is our only hope of building disciples. He is our only hope at properly presenting Jesus. We should never prioritize anything or anyone over what the Holy Spirit can do. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Stand with me this morning. Take your rubber band. I want you to stretch it between both hands. Don't break it. You have in your hand, literally right now, you have in your hand a hands-on analogy, a representation of the tension between the church and today's culture. The tension between what's going on in your flesh and what's going on in the spirit. The tension that's going on in your marriage, in with your children, at your job, with your finances, that is going on right now. But there's only one thing that can break that tension. No, it's not you. Oh, you may physically say, well, I can break it. But no, you're not going to be able to break the social issues that are coming against you. You're not going to be able to break the problems that you have with lust, the problems that you have with fear, the problems that you have with addiction and doubt, the problems that you have with the enemies that are in your house and in your schools and in your jobs. You're not going to be able to break that. But there's only one thing that can break that tension, and that one thing is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Listen to Isaiah in 10 verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke
shall be destroyed because of the anointing of God. The anointing of God is what will destroy the yoke of bondage. Somebody, you need the anointing to destroy. Say hallelujah. My, oh my.
What if we all determined today, Father, I want fresh oil. How many can say with a lifted hand, say, Pastor, I want fresh oil. Pastor Carl, can you help me today? I want you to grab that anointing oil. If it's you, I want you to come on up right here, right now. And as a sign of faith, I want God to anoint me with fresh oil. I want you to come on up and pray right now. God, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Pastor Carl, can you come up here real quick and pray for me? From the crown of my head.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.